It is on. Both are on. Can you hear me? Can you hear me now? Like that guy from Verizon that switched horses there, didn't he? Okay. I'll say it again. Your mission from the Lord is not only possible, but it will be accomplished. Will be accomplished. He who has begun the work will bring it to pass. Not only that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Can't do it on your own. You know, we've all tried to do things on our own, and guess what? We make a mess of it, don't we? Yes. Oh, this thing's all twisted and round in. Okay, go ahead. Oh, really? Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, thank you. Lord, we bless you. Thanks, Brenda. Should you decide to accept this mission, you have to accept the mission, right? There is a part you have to play. Back in the old show, they get that reel-to-reel tape recorder going, and I guess it says, should you decide to accept this mission, I will tell you this, if you don't accept the mission God has for you, your life will self-destruct. It will. I mean, I don't mean to be rough or condemning. I'm not meaning condemning. I'm just saying, listen to the Lord. Do what he says to do. Even the small things, you know, even the little things. Even the little things. There was a person at work that, and this is to glorify the Lord, because, and she needed shoes. And I thought, well, there's a thrift store down the road here. I'm going to run down this thrift store and see if I can get her a pair of shoes. I go down to the thrift store, and I'm looking at these shoes. I go, hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, buy her a new pair. What is wrong with you? You know, I went out, bought her a new pair. She said it was the nicest pair of shoes she ever had in her life. But that's the Lord. That's a little thing. But it was big to her. It was big to her. To get a better understanding of this mission, let's take a look at the kingdom of God. You know, you don't hear a lot about the kingdom of God. I mean, you hear a lot about it, but not those words. You know, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. In Matthew, it's a lot about the kingdom of heaven. And the rest of the Gospels, it's more the kingdom of God. They're pretty much the same, we can say, for this word here. So what would you say the kingdom of God is? Is there anybody who wants to raise their hand and just share? I mean, there's no bad answers. I mean, it's a lot. I mean, it's not just one definition. Anybody want to stand up and share? Someone will, won't you? What does the kingdom of God mean to you? Someone said something back here. Can we get this on? Is this on? Hello? Who said that? Why grace? Go ahead and say grace.
Grace to me is just love.
Okay.
When you're feeling down and, you know, there's always somebody around that always needs help better, you know, that needs more help than you do. And you always think, poor pity party, woe's me. And guess what? You show grace somewhere else and you're like, you know what? Mine isn't so bad. And that's what I consider as grace.
Okay. We were talking in Sunday school about greasy grace. Well, give me all that you got, God. I'll take it all. Anybody else? What does the kingdom of God mean to you?
Well, we were talking about this last night. To me, it means God's the king and we're his followers.
Mm-hmm.
It's set up just how a kingdom would be. You have a king, then you have people that follow him, and we have to walk it out according to what the king wants.
Absolutely. If you have a kingdom, you have to have a king, right? I knew you had
aware something. Of his presence, no matter what the circumstances are, that he's on the throne, and he means it for good.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Yes. Be right over, Brenda.
How about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost?
That's the kingdom of God. Okay, you're right.
Christ in you. Christ in you. Hope of glory.
Amen. That's definitely the kingdom. I know.
I think somebody already said it, but love, peace, and joy.
That's right. And the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? This side? Come on, let's get a representative. We're going to talk about the kingdom of God. We're ambassadors, right? We're delegates, right? Okay, so let's get a delegate from this side.
So when you said Christ in you for the hope of glory, you know, that's very important because of the fact that it was one of the mysteries that Paul wrote about.
Absolutely.
Okay? And in the process of him writing this thing, he very clearly made reference to the fact that it was never disclosed in the Old Testament. It was always one of the mysteries of his kingdom. It was never disclosed until Paul wrote about it. I think that's very interesting.
Yeah, very much so. Praise the Lord. Thank you, delegate, ambassador. Okay, anybody else? I can throw it. I can throw it to the back of the room. What, Deb? Okay. Praise the Lord. Thanks for your audience participation. Okay. If eternal life is all you're thinking about, which I know in this body that's not the case, but in some bodies out there it's like, well, when I, you know, cross over that veil and come into the kingdom of God, well, you're going to hear some things about when the kingdom was established, and that's going to be important. Jesus made the kingdom of God the centerpiece of his message when he was here on earth. I mean, that is just for sure, and it should be for us too. This is a working definition. The kingdom of God is God's complete and ultimate answer to man's whole, W-H-O-L-E, need. Everything. It's the answer for everything. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about that scripture, absolutely. Do you remember back in Daniel 2, we talked about a statue. We're not going to go into all that, but the statue represented different kingdoms. I mean, you know, you started with the Babylonians and the Medo-Persians and then the Grecian group, Alexander the Great, and then it went down to the Roman Empire, okay, so all the way down. Guess what? Every one of those kingdoms fell, right? And we can't be so presumptuous to think that the United States kingdom can't fall. I mean, let's just be real. It's every kingdom that's ever every man-made kingdom, I'm not saying God didn't set it up and sustain it, but sooner or later, every kingdom on earth has fallen, right? Okay. In Daniel 2:44, it says, "And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break into pieces and consume all these other kingdoms and shall stand forever." I mean, there's a bunch of kingdoms out there. You know, we don't look at them, you know, kingdoms, we think of England or Scotland or whatever. But, you know, there's kingdoms out there. There's centers of influence out there that are kingdoms, you know, whether it be the entertainment kingdom or it be the political kingdom or whatever. They're all going to come down. They all are, because the Bible says that. After John was put in prison, John the Baptist, Jesus went into Galilee preaching the good news, or you can put the kingdom of God. I mean, it's the same, they're synonymous, from about God. He said, the right time has come. Now, this is Jesus talking 2,000 years ago, and he's saying the right time has come. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God, God's sovereign rule, is near at hand. Change your hearts and lives, turn from your sins, repent, and believe the good news gospel, or believe it, the kingdom of God is at hand. If it's at hand, does that mean it's at hand? Or does it mean in the sweet by and by, 300 years from there, or 3,000? It means it's at hand. If something's at hand, I can come and get it. So it's close, okay? You know, I believe the kingdom of God was birthed when Jesus, the spear went into Jesus. And that water and blood came out and birthed the kingdom of God right there. In Daniel 7:18, but the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. How many more ages you want to put in there, you know? All right, so I'm going to give you a few. I think I've got ten. Ten, we'll go through them quickly. Ten things that the kingdom of God is, okay? And some of them you were mentioned. Some of them you mentioned them out there. And the first one, because it's the theme song for our radio program, is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Are you saying that without being in the kingdom, you can't have righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost? Not to the level that we can have it. I didn't have it. I thought it was a false thing that I thought I had righteousness, peace, and joy. I really didn't have righteousness. You know, I really never would have called myself righteous BC. But now, because of him, I'm righteous. For the kingdom of God, Romans 14:17, if you're writing them down, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Number two, the good news of the reign of God. The good news of the reign of God. Number three, must be received as a little child. How important is that? We got little child back there. He just loves his grandma, and he's just so safe there in her arms. And that we just have to, that trust. You know, I just think of when I was a little boy, I used to jump off the steps into my dad's arms. I knew he wasn't going to drop me. There was no chance. He never did either. So there was that trust, and I was just a little kid with big faith. And that's, you know, I like how Brother Oscar says that we need to be childlike faith with manlike wisdom. That's really good. Okay. If anybody wants to jump up, you know, I'm not the, I'm not, you know, tradition. So if you all have anything to say, raise your hand. I'll bring the mic out. Okay. Ford, the kingdom of God is done on earth as it is in heaven. Right? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Okay? We are citizens of this kingdom. We talked about that earlier. We are delegates. We are ambassadors. What is an ambassador? It's someone who represents the kingdom when they're out of the kingdom. So every day you go to work, you're an ambassador. You're a delegated authority, and you have authority. Don't ever think you don't have the authority. Christ in you, the hope of glory, like the brother said over there. So we were there, right? Right, Randy? Okay. All right. Number six, only the born again can see the kingdom. Is that what it says? Do you remember Nick at night? Nicodemus, who came by night. That's a Lynn Hiles one, so anyway. But I thought it was cute. Nick at night. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, right? John 3:3. And Jesus said, you must be born again to even see the kingdom of heaven. Doesn't say enter in. It says see. So guess what? If you're not born again, you can't even see the kingdom of heaven. You can't even see it. Guess what? There's so many people that we need to help put a pair of glasses on them so they can see it. And you know, that's something that we have to ask every day in our work. And again, I'm not saying go crazy, because, you know, that's not what, you just do what the Lord tells you to do. If the Lord says, hey, this person I want you to talk to, sometimes all they do is see you work. And they see you work, and you don't say a word, but they know there's something different about you, and sooner or later it turns into a conversation. Number 7, the kingdom of God is within us, you. Okay? Luke 17:21, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Wow, the whole kingdom is in us? The whole kingdom? What an honor. What an honor. What a privilege to carry around the kingdom of God. I mean, that's just awesome. Number 8, we are heirs to the kingdom. Man, we could go into the rest of the day talking about what that includes, but you know that, you know, we just said earlier, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Well, what that mean, all things? Well, that means all things. If he tells you to do it, if he gives you a mission, then he's going to enable you to fulfill that mission. And we have little missions, and then we have a big mission called life. And the big mission, guess what? We're going to talk about that at the very end here. I'm going to close on that. Okay. The next, last one, let's see, well, that was 8, 9. We are delivered from darkness to the light. Okay? So the kingdom is delivering us from darkness to light. Number 9. Colossians 1:13 says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, you hear this thing about outer darkness and weeping and gnashing of teeth and all that, and everybody wants you to make you think, and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but I believe this is true, what I'm telling you. I believe the Lord revealed this to me. You know, outer darkness, you hear about this in the Bible. You've read it. And weeping and gnashing of teeth. Personally, they want to make it sound like that's hell. Personally, I believe that it's a lack of revelation. If it's a lack of revelation, guess what? We need to pray for those people to get the revelation. And we can pray the revelation and of Jesus Christ and wisdom. And we all need that. But so does the people out in outer darkness. They need that. And it's, you know, well, that's a whole nother story, but I'll leave it at that. Outer darkness is lack of revelation, and when they get the revelation, guess what? You were in outer darkness at one time. Correct? And then God, the Spirit of God, hovered over you, just like Genesis in the beginning. You know, there was just darkness on everywhere, I guess. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit started hovering, and Jesus said, or God said, let there be light. Yes, that same thing happened to you. You were in outer darkness. Guess what? God first loved you, and he came and said, let there be light in here. And guess what? There was. You wouldn't be sitting here if there wasn't. Okay. Number 10, last. The kingdom of God does not come with observation. I always wondered kind of, what do you mean observation? Well, you observe it. You know, you see it with your eyes. This is something that I have to see, touch, feel to really know that it's so. And that's not the way it works. Observation, the word observation in the Strong says, with the seeing of the eye in a visible manner, attentive to watching. And this is the one that blows me away, to be a spectator. God doesn't want you to be a spectator. He wants you involved. And if he tells you to do something, even if it's the small things, go do it, because that will lead to bigger things. Okay, Matthew 6:33. We finished 10 things. There's a lot more, but I limited it 10. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first. Y'all know it. You can quote it. Seek ye first what? The kingdom of God. And what? And his righteousness. And what? And all these things. And what? Will be added to you. To you. It's very personal. These things will be added to you. I mean, if that doesn't give you chills, I don't know what will. It will be added to you. All things will be added to you. The kingdom of God and his righteousness. Wow. There is no more righteous than him, right? Okay, and I like that word first. It's before. So put this out. Seek ye before anything, before you even think about your problems, before you even think about your issues, what you have to do today, where you're going to go, who you're going to talk to, what, before all that, seek him and his righteousness, and you got it all for the day. Isn't he wonderful to provide you everything you need for the day? I mean, he'll provide it all. It's all there. But if you don't call on him, you know, he's a gentleman. I've heard him say he's a gentleman. I don't know how that fits in, but he won't force himself. Is that fair to say? That if you're not asking, just like we've been saying at this church for years, if you're going to do all the work, he's going to rest. You know, and if you want him to work on your behalf, then it's time for you to rest in the Lord. Okay, so the kingdom of God in Strong's New Testament refers to the reign of the Messiah, the right or authority to rule over a kingdom, a sovereign king. But what I like is when you break it down to the root, it's walk and feet. So what's your walk like? I don't think God's concerned with your feet, you know, and your toes. It's your walk. So what is your walk like? Are you walking each day in the kingdom? You can do that. There's nothing stopping you but you. But you have to make that decision every morning. Lord, I'm going to walk in the kingdom today. Because guess what? If I'm seeking you, you're going to take care of it all. Now, does that mean no trials, no tribulations, no problems, no questions come up? No, it doesn't mean any of that. But guess what? He's there to help you solve them all. He's there to help you come with a solution for those things that are troubling you or whatever. He's there to say, son, daughter, just relax. You know, cast your cares on me because I care for you. So just cast them all. Give me all of it. You know, I can handle it. I got big, broad shoulders. You just cast all that on me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. So let's just give it all to me. Surrender it all. And guess what? If we look at Jesus's walk, we're going to get to know him pretty good, aren't we? If you watch someone's walk, meaning their day-to-day life and how they handle problems and how they handle issues and, You know, do they get angry if something doesn't go their way? All that stuff. That's their walk. So when you watch, when you keep an eye on Jesus and you see how his walk goes, I think we'll be just like him, because we're going to see him totally as he is. And that same word, root word, feet or walk, is in, we talked about the gate beautiful on a program a couple weeks back, and it's Acts 3:7, and it says, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. This is the person that was at the gate where Jesus had walked by this man. And I could just picture Jesus looking at him and not saying a word, but inside Jesus saying, son, your day is not yet, but it will be. You will walk again, but not today. And sometimes that's some of our prayers that we ask the Lord, and the Lord says, not today, but it will happen. But it says, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones receives strength. So if you want strength in your walk, he can provide it. He can touch you with his right hand where there are pleasures evermore and blessings and everything else. So when we got saved, guess what? He gave us the strength to start this mission. And it's not impossible. Maybe at that time you thought this is mission impossible. No, there's times I'm sure all of you had that doubt. This is mission impossible. I can't do this. Well, guess what? That's good. Because when you get to that point, then you let him do it. And you come to the end of yourself, and you when you are weak, he is strong. And when all that comes together, guess what? It's miraculous. And you know it is, because you know you don't have the ability or the strength to do those things. But you did them anyway. And that's what happens, is you go, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I know this wasn't me. This was all you. It is funny. That word feet there is only once in the Bible, that root word. I always love to, when I see something, it's only one time in the Bible. I always like to take notice of it. Okay, also in the kingdom, we experience benefits and power in this kingdom. And I love this scripture, Ephesians 3:20, you've all heard it. Now, unto him that is able to do exceedingly, what else? Abundantly, above all. That we can think or ask. All. That scripture is one of the most powerful scriptures in the New Testament. I truly believe that. That unto him that is able to do, he's able to do exceedingly and abundantly all, above all that we ask or even think. We haven't even asked it. It's just up here now. It's not even in this stage yet where it's coming out. We're just thinking it, and we're thinking, wow. Ask or think according to the power that worketh where? In us, not out there somewhere, or not just Billy Graham, or not just this person or that person. It's in all of you. There's not one sitting here that power isn't working in you. Now, are you going to, I think Mark, when he prayed, said that our expectancy is in you, Lord. Our expectancy is in you. If you're going to expect in yourself or brother doodad or sister so-and-so, you're going to get hurt. You're going to be disappointed, and And if you're not careful, you may even be offended. But guess what? I got to read it again. This is a powerful scripture. Now, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above, not just meet it there, above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. That word able is, he's capable, he's strong, and he's powerful. He's able. I love that song, you know, he is able. He is able. Exceeding means in behalf of, for the sake of, over, beyond, more than, Christ undergoing death for man's salvation. That's the word. The exceeding does not have a better definition than that. We all had a price that there was never going to be a way that we could pay it. You know, he paid the price that we did not have a chance of ever paying. It wasn't going to ever happen, ever, ever, ever. Thank you, Jesus. So, Christ undergoing death for man's salvation, the inference is drawn, all are reckoned dead. Okay? Now, bear with me on this, because, you know, this is, when you start talking about that, we're going in a second. But right now, power is strength, power, ability, power for performing miracles. Do you know you have that power that resides in you to perform miracles? Do our prayers need to be escalated a little bit? Do we need to quit praying some mealy-mouthed prayer sometimes, thinking that God's only about this big? You know, let's pray big prayers. I mean, he's bigger than cancer. He's bigger than relationship problems. He's bigger than anything you can think of, addictions. He's bigger than any kind of thing that is in your way. And if he's that big, then guess what? That's in you. So you have the power to do miracles, and we've seen it throughout the Bible. I mean, Joshua, through his prayer, God stopped the sun from shining, or stopped the sun from moving for what, 3 days? Elijah stopped rain from falling down for what, 3 years? Seven years, whatever. Stop the rain through a prayer. That's miracle stuff. But you know what? Miracles don't have to be that in magnitude. I believe salvation is a miracle. When you look around here and you look at some of the people here and myself, before we gave our lives to the Lord and now, there's nothing left of that person. I'm not saying that we're sitting here sinless. That's not what I'm saying, but I am saying it's a different person. Y'all know that you're not what you were, some of you, 50 years ago. So, he gives strength, ability, and power to overcome anything that comes our way. The power of Christ, even though it's invisible, it is present and operating in us. And that word worketh is energy, energio, so that energy. All right, what we must do in our job in the kingdom, what is for us? Okay, Colossians 3:3, for you died to this life. Okay, this is the part about dying that, trust me, you already have died or you wouldn't be here, but we'll talk about that. Okay, it says, you died to this life and your real life is hidden where? In Christ. Your real life. So that fake life is dead. It's gone. We reckon it dead. So don't go picking it up again. Get rid of all the pictures in the house, you know, of that dead man. Don't leave the slippers sitting there by the bed. They died, okay? They're gone. Get rid of it and take on the real life. Okay? Luke 17:33, whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. And whomever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Wow. Almost done here, folks. Hang with me because I really think this is good. For as in Adam, what happens? How many of them? Boy, that'd be hard to explain in some churches, wouldn't it? But not here. Even so, in Christ shall how many be made alive? Man, I mean, how can anybody misinterpret that? You can do an exegetical study on that. You can take it literally. It is what it is. It's very easy to understand what all means. All means all, and that's what all means. Hebrews 9:27, and it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Well, that kind of sounds ominous, you know, after that, you're going to die and then the judgment. Well, let me tell you what that means. First of all, that word die, the root word to that is apo, A-P-O, and that is a separation from one thing from another by which the union or fellowship of the two are destroyed. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We want that thing destroyed, don't we? We don't want to have relationship with that. We don't want to have fellowship with that. I love this. It says, by death, to be freed from a thing. By death, to be free. We want to be free in Christ, right? So we got to let that go. In Christ, you accepted death as your death. Then this is your judgment. By death, you're free. Well, that's a rough judgment, isn't it? You're free? I'll take it. Judgment. Guess what? It's a different word. But what does it mean? A separating. It's a different word. It's krasis. But it's still, so dying and judgment are the same English definition, a separation. What are we separating from? That which we don't need anymore. That which we allow to die and we're not going to pick it back up. We're going to separate from that. The punishment, this is the word judgment from the New Testament, the punishment that was appointed was taken away and it has ended once and for all. So I don't care what kind of white throne this or this, that, and the other. Guess what? Your judgment has already been exacted and you were called not guilty. Not guilty. In fact, it goes on to say right justice. The Old Testament definition, and it's the same, I mean, but it does say this, to judge, govern, vindicate, and punish. But really, it all fits into that whole thing about separation, and God will come and help you separate. Y'all have heard the, I'm going to read this verse. This is in the expanded. It says, for God so loved the world so much that he gave his one and only unique son, so that whoever believes in him may not be lost, will not perish, but have eternal life. For indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world guilty, to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Now here it is, right here. Remember John 3:18. People who believe in God's Son are not judged. Does it get any simpler than that? So if you're ever sitting there worried about, oh man, I miss God. I messed up. I did this to someone and I gossiped. God's going to judge that. No, well, guess what? It's already been judged. It's not about sin. It's about relationship. It's not about sin. He's already said that he will not impute your trespasses against you. They're as far away as the east is from the west. So if you're hearing something on the TV or radio and they want to sit there and just keep pounding you about your sin, turn the dial. Because it's false. This is Bible. I'm not putting anything to this. This is Bible. And it says, those who do not believe have already been judged. Okay? They've been judged guilty. Because without Jesus, there's no advocate there. You're looking for your defense attorney, and he ain't there. Okay? So guess what? You're in Christ. He's there. And he's saying, I got it. Those who believe have been judged, but those who do not believe, because they have not believed. That's the only reason. As soon as they believe, they're right there. So doesn't that give you a good burden to want to talk to people about the Lord? I mean, you know, a good burden, something that says, hey, I want to be open to the Lord's leading. If he has me talk to someone, then guess what? He's going to make the way. I don't have to come up with the words. I don't have to have 8 spiritual laws manuals here in my pocket. I can just speak what God tells me to speak. Okay. When I think of separation, back to that other thing, it's the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. That's Hebrews 4:12. Piercing even to sunder the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, that is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Okay, so that's called the marismos, okay? That's the dividing or the separating. In the passive sense, as far as the division, it's the dividing line between soul and spirit. So it's not saying, okay, soul, you go over there, and spirit, you go over there. No, it's just it's a way to identify when you're in the flesh and when you're in the spirit. We all know when we slide over into the flesh. I mean, there's a check that comes in here. That's called conviction. God loves us so much that he gives us that check, okay? So we already know that. But it reminded me back in the day, do y'all remember, I'm old, but I think there's some other folks my age or maybe even older. Do you remember Foursquare box ball? There's only a couple of you remember box ball. Box ball was a cheap way to have recess for grade schoolers. They would just, all they had to do is paint 4 boxes. There's a box A, there's a box B, C, and D. If you were A, you're the server. If you're box B, then you're one step from the top. If you're step B or C and D, then of course you're over there. But what happens is you serve the ball to someone. If it hits a line or goes out, you go back to the beginning. So that line determined your situation in that game. So every time you hit a line or whatever, the server, if he hits a line, he goes all the way back to D. The Lord just showed me that. I hadn't thought of that in, I mean, I can't tell you last time, but box ball, we used to play that all the time. But it was like it says here, a dividing line. So, we know, one way we know that we are trusting in the Lord is when we can discover treasures hidden in our troubles and trials. Treasures in your trials. You know what? You can revolution your life by that one thing. That if you could look at your trials and troubles as treasures. I mean, God didn't allow them to happen without a reason. The testing of your faith produces patience, and that will bring about endurance. Who benefits from that? We do, and everybody else around us, because we become a lot easier to live with. I mean, you know, it was just so cool that the Lord basically says, hey, if you can sit there and make this into a treasure, which a treasure is something that you hold dear, right? And you say, okay, Lord, I'm going to take this. I'm going to learn from this. I'm going to make this something that, you know, with your help and only with your help can I ever not let this ever bother me again. And we all know what those buttons are that get pushed. Okay, I'm going to wind down here. Revelation 12:10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God. So is it now or is it some sweet by and by? Well, it's in Revelation, so it must be some sweet by and by. No, no. Revelation is the revealing of Jesus Christ. So when Jesus Christ is revealed in your heart, it's that day. It's now. It's right away. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them from accused them before our God day and night. Guess what? You don't even have to even think about that anymore because he's cast down. So the only power or authority he has is what you give him. Don't give him any. Okay, I'm winding down. What is my mission in the kingdom of heaven? Do you all know what it is? Do you know? I mean, if we had someone come up and say, okay, this is my mission. Do you have a mission statement? Not saying you have to, but I'm just asking. Well, we're going to talk about a mission statement. If you want to do it, you can do it. If you want to get the CD, you can get the CD. But I really, truly believe there's nobody here. I don't care what your age. I don't care what your abilities are, or what you think. I'm not smart enough. I'm too old. I'm whatever. That's total nonsense because there's not anybody in this room that can't fulfill another mission from God. So you're at the door there, the double doors. Put yourself in this. You can close your eyes, you can keep them open, whatever. If you got pen and paper, if you want to write some of this down, that's fine. You're at the back of the door there, and you walk to the door and you see this place packed. It is just packed with people, and you know everybody. And you come walking down, and your eyes are focused on one thing, a big casket. And you go up to the casket, and it's you. Okay? You got the picture? Okay. Now, the service is about to start, and folks are about to get up to talk about you. Okay? So the question I have for you today is, what do you want them to say? What do you want them to say? I mean, it's something thought-provoking. What do you want them to say? This doesn't work unless you write it down. I mean, seriously, that you can sit there and say, oh, I was a good person. What? No. When you start asking the Holy Spirit to guide you on this, you will, it's amazing, really. So I do encourage everyone to either get the CD or write down the thing here. But what do you want them to say? Okay, the next page. Go to the next page. Write down 3 to 5 people that you truly admire. They can be dead, they can be alive, they can be from the Bible. Of course, my first one was Jesus Christ. But write down 3 or 4 or 5, 6, 10. It doesn't matter. No number is important on this. But write down who you have admired in your life. And now write down why. What is it about that person that you admire? Okay? Think about that. I'm telling you, this is a good exercise. I did it. And it was really amazing how it all came together. Okay, so now you have two lists. You have the list of what you want people to say, and then you have the list of those traits or those things that you admire about the people in your life from the time you were a child all the way up that you really thought were something to look up to. Now think about this. You don't have to write it down, but think about if this is what you want them to say about you today, would they say all that about you? That's a question, you know, that you have to ask. And if it's not, which are the ones that you would say, that's one that I need to work on. Lord, help me with that one, please. So here we are. And now, after you do all that, then you want to write a mission statement. You know, and a mission statement is going to change as your things happen in your life, okay? But really try this and just see what happens, because it's really cool. You know, just, I don't know what a mission statement, you know, as far as me, I'm still working on mine, because this all happened on Friday. But put the mission statement as far as what you desire to be and do. You know, we have to be before we can do, right? Okay, so what do you want to be first, and then what do I have to do? So that should be somewhat contained in the mission statement. There's no rules to this thing. It could be a paragraph. It could be one statement, one sentence. There's no rules to it. But, you know, it may be something to the effect, you know, I desire to be a man of God who wants to accomplish what God has set before me to accomplish. And then once you come up with a statement, put it away. And then pull it back up. You know, maybe a week, 2 weeks, a month, whatever, and start tweaking it. Because what's going to happen is you're going to really, I mean, let's face it. Anytime someone passes from here to the other side, it gets you thinking. You know, and the older you get, Jack and Parker, the older you get, it's going to be, man, I don't know how much time I have left. I want to make sure that I have accomplished what God set me on this earth to accomplish. That's important to me, and I know it's important to you. So get with the elders, get with pastor, get with friends that you have that you, well, maybe it's someone that you look up to, you know, but talk about that. I mean, it's good to talk about that with someone that really knows you, because they can kind of like guide you and maybe give you some perspective that you can't see. Sometimes it's because it's us, our perspective isn't broad enough to really see the big picture. So sit down with someone. You know, maybe it's something that you should be doing here at the church. You know, maybe you should be speaking. Maybe you should be in the band. Maybe you should be singing a special song every once in a while. I mean, who knows? Cleaning the church. I mean, whatever it is, figure it out what God has placed you here for and how you're going to accomplish it. Because I think every single person, I know every one of you, and we all want to accomplish what God has put us here to accomplish, right? All right, praise the Lord. I will say this last thing, and that is, if there's anybody here that doesn't know the Lord and is not a part of the kingdom, we can settle it today. Today. We can settle it today. So if the Lord is, if you've never confessed it, it says those that call upon the name of the Lord will be saved and will be in the kingdom of God now. Not tomorrow, not the next day. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to kneel down. No special words. It's the heart, the condition of the heart. So is there anyone here that is wanting to be a part of this kingdom that we've been talking about that feels that maybe they're not? It's nothing to be ashamed of or anything. It's just, we love you, God loves you, and we just want to rejoice with anybody that hasn't. I figured most everybody here is, if not everybody. So is there anybody? Okay, praise the Lord. We're all saved. Let's offer up a big shout. Praise the Lord. All right.